Hebrews 2:03. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And to enter it for the second Sunday of Easter.
Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good.
Lord, give thanks to the Lord, all for his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works.
Glory and peace to all the earth.
you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The first reading for the second Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 5. Now, many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. And they were all together in Solomon's portico. Now, none of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow may fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and filled with the jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We chant Psalm 148 responsively by whole verse.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise Him in the heights.
Praise
Him, sun and moon, praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. Praise the Lord from the earth, great sea creatures and all deeps. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars. Princes and all rulers of the earth.
Praise to the
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His majesty is above the earth and heaven.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, all His saints, all the people of Israel.
The epistle is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 1. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, and the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation, and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the spirits on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp, two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun, shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last, and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the Alleluia and verse.
St. John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. Now Thomas, one of the 12 called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, lest I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my fingers into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess together the Nicene Creed, page 206.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended to heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated for the hymn of the day, hymn 4-7.
Thank you. mercy be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We call Thomas the doubter, but I'm not certain that we quite understand what his sin is. Certainly, he is not the only disciple to doubt our Lord's resurrection. When Mary Magdalene came and told the other disciples what she saw in the tomb, that it was empty, that there were angels there, and that she saw the risen Lord, well, we don't know that they don't believe her, we just know what they did afterwards. They gathered together in the upper room, hiding in fear of the Jews. And we know from our Acts lesson that that fear was well founded. That does not suggest to me that they believed her, that they were hopeful in his resurrection. Rather, they didn't know what to do or what to think or what to believe. What they did do was gather together. And in all likelihood, when they were gathered together, they would have read the scriptures, they would have prayed together, they would have discussed amongst each other the words that our Lord had spoken to them. It is in this place, in this context, the gathering of God's people, it is in this place that the Lord appears to them, saying, "Peace be with you." Three times in this pericope, Jesus says to them, "Peace be with you." He's not speaking about a general sense of peace. He's not speaking of a lack of conflict. He's speaking of himself. The peace that he brings is himself, the Son of Man, the Son of God, Christ the Lord, risen from the dead. He is in himself the victory over the grave, our assurance that when we sleep with our fathers, we will one day wake with him. Christ showed them that the one they should fear, the one who could destroy death, the one who could destroy both body and soul in hell, he had already declared them innocent. No longer do they need to fear the one that could only kill them. Peace be with you, for you have Christ, and Christ is enough. He is the peace that surpasses all understanding. His is the blood that was shed. His was the life that was taken. And because of him, there is no more need to fear death or hell or torture. There is no terror of hell. There is no earthly threats that can defeat him because he's already faced them. He's overcome them. And against him, who can stand? The disciples received that peace with Jesus. And what's more, they gained a greater honor, a greater duty, a service to their Lord. They became his instruments, became the means by which he would save all people, bring his peace to all people. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. The Father sent the Son so that he could redeem the world. Now the Son is sending his shepherds, his pastors, his apostles, his sent ones, to proclaim the redemption and to enact it in the world. He breathed upon them. The Word of God, the Word through which all things were made, breathed upon them and they received the Holy Spirit, the Lord of life. They were told, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Into their hands, our Lord gave them the keys of life and death, what we call the office of the keys, that special authority through which God's judgment and mercy is made audible for the world. It is given so that we can hear with our ears that our sins are forgiven, that we are innocent before God. So that when Pastor Nairns tells us that our sins are forgiven, we do not need to doubt, but can believe that they are forgiven before God's throne in heaven. When Pastor frees a soul from the bondage of the devil, it is the power of Christ Himself that does it. For Christ holds in His hands the keys of death and Hades. These keys were not given to Him. The devil did not volunteer them to Him. He went down into death, down into hell, into the very courtroom of Satan, and He took them. Like a teacher taking away a toy from a mischievous child. He has authority over them. And He gave this same authority to the disciples and all the pastors who followed them. Knowing this, it is now therefore a problem that one of His disciples was not there that Easter night. Thomas, the one we call the twin, was not with the other disciples that evening. We're not given the reason why. It's likely that Thomas was just as afraid as the other disciples, probably more so. It might be that he believed that having all the apostles together in one room would be too tempting or too easy a target. Whatever the case is, he wasn't there. He wasn't part of the assembly. To put it more bluntly, Thomas wasn't in church on Easter. He wasn't part of the assembly of God, the church. And because of that, he could not hear the word of God, spoken by the very word of God Himself. He couldn't hear the everlasting gospel that Jesus Christ is risen, risen from the dead, the tomb is empty, and death's power destroyed. I think it likely that Thomas's sin was not just that he doubted, it's that he wasn't in church, didn't gather with his fellow believers. His sin was that he was alone. He was separated from the others, away from the church. So when the other disciples came to him and told him what they had seen and heard, he did not believe them. Notice on what terms his belief or disbelief is placed. Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. Thomas places his doubts directly onto the marks of the crucifixion, the way that our Lord dies. Clearly, he believed if the disciples saw anything, it might have been a ghost or a spirit. Certainly not Jesus' body resurrected exactly as it was. We have to remember, crucifixion is not an honorable way to die. It's shameful. It's a horrible way to die. It's reserved only for the worst of criminals, for thieves and rebels. For our Lord to die in this way is a shameful thing. It's bad enough that the Son of God died. It's worse that He was crucified. His grave is questionable to Thomas. It's a stumbling block. But when did Jesus ever do what we expected Him to do? Why would He die an honorable death? He did not come to die for good men or for righteous men, but for His enemies. It is therefore fitting that His death would be shameful. It would be fitting for Him to die a painful, slow, horrific death, because by it, he places the wrath of God on Himself. And because of this, the crucifixion is no longer shameful. It is glorious. It is wonderful. It is beautiful. Because by it, we are redeemed. By it, our sins are paid for. By it, we are saved. when Jesus appeared again before his church in the upper room 8 days later, with the lost sheep returned to the fold, he doesn't hide the marks of his shame from Thomas. In fact, he invites him forward. Peace be with you. Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas, put out your hand. Feel the places where the nails pierced my body. Feel the place where the spear cut. There is no shame there any longer. These are not the marks of a criminal. They're the marks of a king. They become the jewels. They signify Jesus' royalty and righteousness. The cuts on Jesus' forehead where the crown of thorns cut into his skin becomes more glorious than all the gold ever mined in the world. The holes in his hands become more precious than all the jewels that encrust the fingers of the kings of the world. The wound in his side, where blood and water poured out, they become the source of life and salvation. It is precisely by these wounds that Jesus saved his people. And it is because of that that these wounds are precious to us. We are proud to show them to the world, to turn its shame into glory. Peace be with you. Through these unexpected means, through this way which the world cannot comprehend, you have peace. It has been delivered to you. And at this, at last, Thomas understood. Better than that, he believed. The peace which surpasses all understanding came to him, stood before him. He saw Christ, he felt his wounds, and his lips formed no more doubts, but a confession. My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen yet believed. We have not seen Christ, not yet, not fully, not in the flesh. He has not yet come to us in the flesh. He has not yet shown us his hands and side. We have not yet beheld the glory of the Son of Man. But when he comes in power and glory, we will see him. We will see him raising the dead and bringing low the mighty. So until that day, we gather. We do not do what Thomas did. We don't separate ourselves, whether out of fear of the world or out of our own pride. Christ has given us the means by which we are saved, by which we can believe without seeing. Baptism, the new birth. Communion, his body and blood given and shed for us. His word given to us by the Holy Spirit, preached upon by his pastors. All of this to show us that our sins are forgiven. And so that we can know his own promise to us. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Do not deprive yourself of the gifts of God, but come to them like a child, like a son. The feast is ready. God has prepared a place for you. He's done so since before the founding of the world. He has loved you since before you were born. Peace is with you. For Jesus is with you. And against him, who can stand? The three in one who made you redeemed you, sanctify you, have loved you from the foundation of the world. Blessed are you who have believed and yet have not seen. To Jesus, the peace of the Father, be all glory and dominion unto ages of ages. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.
Prayer of the Church, we stand to pray.
Glorious Lord, you have worked the salvation of the world through the death and resurrection of your Son. Give strength to our praise, that our hearts and mouths be filled with the joy of your wondrous works and peace. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God Almighty, you stoke the fires of your churches as lights in the darkness of this world. As we gather in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, comfort and embolden your holy ones to serve in your presence, cherish the words you've written to our churches. Bless Trinity Lutheran Church and all that we do here in this place. Bless Pastor Christian Tues and his wife Lula as they serve people in Germany in the Evangelical Lutheran Church. And bless our confirmands Caitlin Gransberg, Avery Tamale, Camden Buckmaster, and Tori Sendelbach, Tony Sendelbach, Caden Scobble, Haley Haxton, Caroline Marshall, Trinity Stecker, Caden Sward, Bridget Collins, and Jackson Merchant. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, your Son visited disciples hiding away from the fear of the Jews. Sustain all your disciples in the throes of persecution. Visit us with your Easter gospel, that we proclaim the resurrection unto everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We thank you for this rain, and we ask that you provide rain to bring this drought to an end. Provide for us our daily bread in all the vocations and callings of your people. Curb all wickedness and grant that you would shepherd us to serve you faithfully in our life and ministry. Bless Desmond Keister, Penny Berluski, and Logan Jorns as they celebrate their birthday. Neil and Emily Schuster, Rose and Jerry Mihus as they celebrate their anniversary. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O great physician, in the shadow of your wings, you bring healing to all afflicted people. Heal those who are afflicted in body and soul, Jean Faulkner, Kent Christner, Timothy Maltz, and Claire Jones, Jeannie Brinkheader, Grace Raleigh, Melody Lechtenberg, and Darlene Miedrich, Raymond Semmelbach, Candy Darmody, Chris Henderson, Dwayne Rosowski, and Joe Waller. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort the family of Lorraine Trinka, Dwayne Brzozowski's sister, at her death, now that you've received her to yourself in heaven. Gladden the hearts of those who mourn her death with the sure and blessed hope of a reunion in heaven. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all the nations of the world and ask that you bring the war in the Ukraine to an end. Also bless those who serve in our country, serving our freedom. Courtney Tate, Danny Green, Ricardo Batanga, Mike Gobble, Charles Gaither, Emily Shelton, Alex Laffin. Grant in the world filled with war and violence, you bring peace in Jesus, who is our peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Finally, Lord, unite all Christians everywhere in a true confession of Jesus Christ, in whom the world has redemption, forgiveness of sin. You alone be all glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
We ask at this time that you fill out the ritual friendship forms found at the end of the pew, passing them to the person next to you. You may place them in the baskets of the narthex as you leave. You may be seated for the offering. Thank you.
service of sacrament, page 208, we stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love, shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh, and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death, and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of Savior of the door, and heaven with full acclaim, shall the glory of your name sing Hosanna in the highest, sing Hosanna to the Lord. Truly blessed is he who
King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us in giving your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed. By his death, he has redeemed us from bondage to sin and death, and by his resurrection, he has delivered us into new life in him. Grant us to keep the feast in sincerity and truth, faithfully eating his body given into death, and drinking his lifeblood poured out for our salvation, until we pass through death to the promised land of heaven. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross, and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation to come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. depart in peace.
Amen.
Page 211, we stand to sing.
Oh,
Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come and the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that in the day of his coming we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.